What's up, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of Falcons in Focus. I'm Scott Bear. That's Tori McElhaney. This gentleman to my left, Rashawn Evans, self-proclaimed, quote-unquote, to me, country boy.
Country boy.
Country boy from Auburn, Alabama. Grew up on a ranch,
yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
With brothers and sisters and
yes,
animals.
And animals.
The other thing that you said, that you just had the outdoor lifestyle.
Yeah.
So was it hard when you were a kid for your mom to even like get you in for dinner?
Yeah.
You're just out running, causing trouble?
Where I stayed at was real secluded, kind of, you know. So, I mean, not a lot of kids out there. Just, you know, most of maybe the neighbor that was right next to me, you probably had to travel a couple miles. So,
wow.
I mean, but other than that, I mean, it was just one of those things where it felt like it was before the cell phone age, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
You're
only 26.
I'm only 26. It felt like it, though, but, you know, at the time, I really wasn't even worried about it. Like, I'd be outside. I'd be playing with my brother. I'd be playing, doing something. I mean, I was always outside. And obviously, I had the love for the game, football. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was one of those things. I probably would throw the ball to my pops or my mom or something like that. You know, it got to the point where they were kind of like, look, you know, I done threw all day to you. I'm like, at some point, you gotta put it down, go to sleep, do something. So, but I definitely was an adventurous kid, though. I definitely loved being outside.
Yeah, what kind of trouble? Sorry.
No, go ahead.
What kind of trouble could a young Rashawn Evans and his brothers and sisters get into out in the middle of nowhere?
Oh, you could get into a lot of stuff, especially if you're alone. You know, that was the number one thing. You make sure you travel with somebody. You know, you out there in those woods. You out there just, you know, walking around and stuff like that, you know, you just never know what's out there. So, but I think it does give me a different outlook on life as well. You know, you really appreciate the things that aren't materialistic. You really look at life in a different, you know, manner. And, you know, I have appreciation for animals. I love animals. You know, I got two dogs right now. Those are my babies. They're like my sons. I have no kids, but those are my kids. So.
What are their names?
Batman and Bane.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
and
fantastic.
It's so funny too.
Are they rivals?
Yeah. It's funny too because their personalities actually
does
fit.
Does it match?
Yeah. Batman is real kind of quiet, real subtle. You know, he sits back and just analyzes everything. And then Bane is like, anytime he sees anybody, you know, he's just always just trying to be alert. And, you know, he's the youngest one. So you can already tell how that is. He's just hothead. He's hothead. So. You know, those two, I love them. I love them to death. And they actually stay down there in Auburn. So I go down there every now and then. I go see my family, and then I go see my dogs and stuff. So, you know, it's always fun to be able to go down there and see your dogs and your family.
What kind of dogs are they?
Yeah.
Two Cane Corsos.
Ooh.
Yeah, two boys. So.
Interesting.
At first I was thinking maybe once, because the first one was Batman. He's the oldest one. He's my oldest, my oldest one, my first,
firstborn.
My firstborn. That's my oldest one. So, you know, at first I was like, maybe I might just get a girl and, you know, maybe they have some babies or whatever. I might be able to keep
family.
A couple of them, little family. Then I was thinking like, nah, I don't want to
be a brother.
Yeah. He needs a brother. He needs somebody to, you know, match that energy. So I ended up getting banned and, you know, they love each other.
I love that. Now, I'm glad that you brought up animals and your love for animals, because I read something that y'all had a bunch of animals growing up.
Chickens, ducks, all type of country stuff you could think of.
You have a favorite?
Yeah.
What animal was your favorite? And
I used to like horseback riding. So
okay.
Where I'm from, we go horseback riding. Yeah. And the people that, you know, like I said, the neighbors that we stay around or whatever, they like you can sometimes walk down there sometimes, or you'll take a four wheeler or you'll take a horse or anything. We'll do that. But, you know, it's true country living. I mean, you know, when you're talking about eggs and all the stuff that you get from the store, we would literally let the chickens lay the eggs, and
literally
walk out there and we would
eat
the eggs. So, you know, I learned all of that stuff, learned how to guard a plant and do all the other stuff. So I learned all that as a child.
Do you have a green thumb? Can you grow some things?
Absolutely. If I was stranded by myself, I definitely could survive. Yeah, I definitely could survive.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. Now, this is something that many people have talked about. Mm-hmm. Many people.
You know it's coming.
You probably know it's coming.
Yeah.
About racing horses.
Yes. Yeah.
Please tell people who don't know that story.
Yeah.
That story.
Okay, so it kind of started. My brother was running track at the time. Mm-hmm. We were going to Auburn High School. That was the high school we went to. And he was on the track team. And at the time, he wanted to find ways, you know, different ways of how, you know, he can be fast and be a better athlete. And, you know, at the time, you know, we like the horseback ride or whatever. That's what we do down there in the South. He thought it would be a good idea to go chase horses. So he was out there chasing a horse. And then, obviously, I was kind of looking at him like, you crazy, dude. Then all of a sudden, he was like, no, come do it. Try. You know me, I'm like, you know, I'm faster than you anyway. You know, I can do it. I can, yeah, I tried it. I never called him. But, you know, eventually my brother actually was able to do it. You know, he was a lot faster than me at the time. He's not faster than me now. So just, okay. You know.
But, let's put that on the
record.
Yeah,
put that on the record now. But, you know, at the time, he kind of got me implemented to doing stuff like that. And, you know, for some reason, it was fun to me. I'm like, I'm a country boy. I do crazy stuff anyway. I might as well do this. And I was doing it for a couple of years. And then, you know, eventually I started, you know, playing college football.
Right.
And Coach Saban was kind of like, look, now, you know, you got to be able to, you know, show up and be healthy and be ready.
Right.
We don't want no problems of you doing some extracurricular activities and stuff like that. So I kind of shut it down, you know, from then. But, you know, though, I got some funny childhood stories for sure.
Did you ever catch one?
I never caught one.
Seem like the most difficult thing.
They can get up to 30 miles an hour, right?
It's hard. Yeah. It's very hard. And then, too, you don't realize how agile they are. They're really big animals, but at the same time, like, you know, they're very, very, very athletic, very agile. And, you know, at the time, I got really close, but I wasn't able to do it, though.
Now, you ride horses. You don't just chase them.
Yeah, I truly ride horses.
Okay,
sure.
Did you ever do any like equestrian like competitions or
no
anything
competition
like that?
Just
any
just
rodeos,
no rodeo, straight, you know, back row. You know, me and my pops, we would go and, you know, ride horses, and we'll be in the back rows and we'll just ride for miles sometimes and we just come back. So you know, most of that stuff that we did when we was horseback riding, it never was any competition or nothing like that. I kind of wish I got into it,
right?
You know, maybe that would have been something interesting. But you know, when I was playing football at the time, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, look, I want to go to the NFL. So I got to get right. So.
It worked out for you, the career path you chose.
No, no doubt.
And I think that you and Kyle Pitts have both now fallen victim to the.
Oh, yes. Cordero Patterson.
CP orange overalls.
Oh, yeah.
Because when Tennessee wins, apparently there are some friendly rivalries where if Tennessee wins and beats your school, you have to wear the ugliest orange overalls I've ever seen in my life. You're not used to losing friendly wagers with your school.
No,
balls,
none. Zero.
Right?
None.
Everyone, he did go to Alabama.
He did go to Alabama.
Yeah.
They don't lose very much.
No, at all. I was very confident before that game. I almost knew I wasn't going to wear that.
Right,
those overalls.
You knew that was going to end up on social.
Too, I knew it was going to. I knew it would be a big thing because, you know, I've had many people, even teammates when I was even at Tennessee, they would bet me in. Mm-hmm. Some would be scared to bet me and some would be like, no, I truly believe we could beat y'all. And then, you know, they'll come to find out Bama is really like that.
Right?
So, you know, most of the time I never had that situation where I would have to, you know, put on overalls or put another team jersey on. So finally, this is the first time. And, you know, at the time I was kind of like, I know for sure once they take this pick, they're going to blow it up, and that's exactly what happened. So hopefully I won't have to do that no more.
It's the ugliest thing, like, outfit ever. And I told him, so I went to UGA and I told him, I was like, I'm gonna burn the overalls because they are atrociously bad. Tennessee needs to stop winning.
Bright,
so
bright orange, it's just loud. It's just, you know.
Someone needs to beat Tennessee. Dear Lord.
Oh, that's why I'm hoping maybe Georgia
will
do it. Yeah.
Can knock them down a bit. And I'm sure that you eventually knew this question was coming too. Mm-hmm. Alabama alum from Auburn, Georgia. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
Your brother went to Alabama, right?
Yeah, well, my brother, he actually, because he's a year younger than me, so he followed me when I went to Alabama.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, first. I went against the Graham. My sister, she was a cheerleader for Auburn.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, I have the whole breakdown. Your dad was a running back for Auburn
with Bo Jackson, right?
With Bo Jackson.
Wow. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Super cool. Your mom has like 4 degrees with her doctorate from Auburn. She's freaking cool. Your sister was a cheerleader for Auburn.
Yep.
Your uncle is a vice president of something at Auburn.
It's a pretty successful family too. Going over the list.
Cousins went to Auburn, and then there you are.
Split family now. So, I mean, when I made the decision to go to Alabama, you know, it was it was definitely something that they had to get used to. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, I also had cousins that went to Alabama as
right.
well.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So it was kind of like, you know, when once I did it, they eventually, at first, it was kind of like a shock. Because, you know, I'm coming straight out of the backyard of Auburn University.
Right.
Legit,
you
know, like Auburn High School, right?
Auburn High School is like maybe 4 or 5 minutes from the university.
Yeah.
Wow. You throw a rock and hit it. So, I mean, at that time, people were kind of expecting me to go to Auburn University.
Sure.
And I don't know if you guys know, too, if you look on the internet, I think at the time, they already had me on their profile on the site. So they already
did they really?
Were expecting me to already go to Auburn.
Oh, no.
So I went over there so much. Like, yeah. I was, you know, it was kind of like at
You're
some point,
there.
They were kind of like, look, you might as well just enroll.
Yeah, right.
Before you even announce publicly that you're going to Auburn. So once I went on and did, you know, my signing day, it was on ESPNU, I remember. And I had two hats at the time because originally I had three schools. It was Auburn University, Alabama, and then it was UCLA. Mm.
Right. My mom. Where I went to school.
Okay. So
you really could have helped me out there, man.
I would have loved to go to UCLA, but my mom was like, nah, that's
She's
too
like, no.
far, and that's too much fun over there.
It is.
I need
it is
you to
too
focus.
Far, and
yeah.
it is too fun.
I need you to
that's
focus.
Correct.
So I was like, you know what? All right. So I got two great options. I got a University of Alabama, mm-hmm. and I got Auburn University. Mm-hmm. And those two hats were the two hats in my mom's purse. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, at the time of going through my, you know, thankful for the things and stuff of all that, my coaches and everything that got me to the point where I'm at today. And then I finally, you know, decided, like, you know, I'm going to take my talents. And then I reached my hand down in my mom's purse. And at first, it was the Auburn hat.
Oh, gosh.
I touched it.
That's like and almost like a, yeah. a sign or something.
Nobody knew what I was reaching for. My yeah. mom saw my hand, and she whispered to me. She was like, whatever decision you make, I'm with you.
Yeah.
And as I was holding the hat, something told me, it was like, don't do it.
Yeah. Wait, so you didn't make the decision until you put the hat on?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
I made the decision. It was like a toss-up. It was like a coin toss at that point.
Wow.
It was 50-50.
I didn't realize that.
That's wild.
It was that bad because at the time, I mean, I had, Gus Malzahn, he was calling me right before the situation. Like,
yeah.
You know, he was expecting, like, can't wait to have you on the team. And I'm kind of thinking in my head, I'm like, man, what if I go somewhere else?
Right.
And it's running through my mind. I'm like, and then too, I'm coming back to the fact that, you know, I was born and raised here. This would be the perfect area to be able to start my football career and be able to play in front of my family, my friends, people I grew up who saw me play football at Auburn High School. Mm-hmm. This would be match made in heaven.
Yeah.
And I find, for some reason, something told me, and it told me to go to University of Alabama. And I got my hat. I said, I'm going to be taking my talents to University of Alabama. And I just hear the crowd just like gasp for air. Like, you really just do this.
I was about to ask, like, what the response to that was.
Yeah, the response was not really that good. No. Yeah, it was like, indeed, even if you look on the video, it's a video on YouTube, but even some of my family members was kind of like, wait, Alabama?
What just happened?
It's like he picked up the wrong hat.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, after that, I kind of just took it on and it was like, look, I'm going to make the best out of it. I knew that, you know, going to a university like Alabama, I knew that I was going to get the best possible chance to do something with my career as far as football. And I was like, look, I'm going to work my butt off and whatever happens after that is going to happen.
You won
worked
two
out.
Natties and were a first-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. So
worked out.
It worked out. It worked out. It worked out. So I'm happy about that.
So I want to ask this because I found –
I love this question, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I found it when we were researching for the podcast because we're good journalists, you know.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pat on back. Yeah. In 2015 mm-hmm. – And you'll have to tell me if this is true or not. But okay. In 2015, your mom, she's I said on the podcast, four degrees with the doctorate. Mm-hmm.
Very smart, intelligent woman. Yeah.
She designed a team dynamics workshop implemented by Alabama in 2015.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Yeah, she was working. Yeah, she was at the time. She was. I think it was when we won my first Natty. Mm. Uh-huh. She was working with Alabama at the time, so she was working with a lot of the players, and she was creating different stuff for, for Coach Saban and stuff for us to be more successful. Like how to, implement things to work with players, how they think, things that they can do to be a better person, and because a lot of the guys were coming from single family homes, a lot of them were trying to figure out their way. A lot of them didn't have a lot of income coming in as a player. And, when you're doing full-time football and you have no income, that's, it's different from now. NIL stuff has totally changed the game.
Yeah.
So guys were going through a lot of things. And my mom at the time, she's a psychologist. Mm-hmm. she's thinking about ways, you know, change the game as far as, you know, with players and guys that are going through a lot of stuff. So she developed stuff like that.
Wow, that's just such a cool concept. Yeah. That your is. Mom kind of helps many of your teammates while you're in school mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
You're a psych major too?
Yeah. Graduated from Alabama in psychology.
Yeah, so like you got all these life lessons mm-hmm. just like at the dinner table.
Literally. That's all.
Did you feel really prepared?
Oh yeah, I felt really prepared. You know? It was getting to the point where she was kind of like, look, I'm going to have to start charging you for this.
therapy sessions.
I'm giving you all these therapy sessions and stuff. And it's funny, too, because even by, me growing up around my mom and knowing these dreams about life and how to think and stuff like that, you know, some of the stuff I ran into in Tennessee and learning those things is like, you know, once you get the opportunity to be able to go and experience something, you know, you really start to realize what type of person you are, the type of things that, you know, that really make you go, that really make you great. And, you know, I think, you know, it's not just so much about conversation, but it's also, you know, living the journey, going mm-hmm. through the journey and really learning from it. So that was one of the biggest things I learned from both sides.
Yeah, I think, and again, I think this is true, that your parents only missed one football game.
Yeah.
So, like the level of support that you got was rarefied stuff. The fact that they were so present and so active, because you know your mom, you talk about these things like with your mom, but mm-hmm. like your dad's lived
you did, and by them being, because you know the way I was raised, you know, my mom's real analytical, she's very detailed, so she looks at like stuff that you wouldn't think a mom would look at right. as far as me playing football. And then too, my dad, he played football as well, mm-hmm. you know, collegially, so both of them are really like, they were really hard on me. They were like, you know, certain things that, you know, they felt like I could be great in, they would always try to find something out of my game to be better or as a person too as well. So I'm getting both sides as far as how to be the best possible version of myself. And, you know, I'm always the first to say I'm truly blessed to have that, you know, that type of support and staff, you know, that's behind me, you know.
I love that. I mean, because not everybody has that.
Not everybody has that. It's very, very rare. Very blessed to have that.
Said one game and missed one game in college. Mm-hmm. Now your professional mm-hmm. career, how often do they get to come and see mm-hmm. you?
Oh, they, now, shoot, I'm like.
Now you're down the road.
I'm down the road now. And, you know, my mom, she's been loving it so much because, you know, me coming to see her boy, coming to see her baby, that's what she called me. It definitely made her happy because, you know, opposed to traveling 5 hours and now only traveling maybe 2 hours, mm-hmm. to come and see me, I think it's been the greatest thing for me. You know, I'm able to have more time with my family, have more time with friends and family that I grew up with in Auburn. And, you know, it's been fun. I get texts all the time. People like, look, I remember you watching in high school and now you playing for Atlanta. Feels like you're back at home. And it definitely feels like that.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I think we were talking about this in the locker room the other day, because you've worked with Dean Pease mm-hmm. in Tennessee and then here in Atlanta. Seems like you guys are kind of wired the same way.
Yeah.
Like you see the game through a very similar lens. Do you think that's accurate?
Yeah, I think so. And that's why I have such a great relationship with Dean, because I understand what he wants.
Right.
You know, that's the biggest, the greatest thing about a player-coach relationship is, you know, it's one thing for a coach to tell you something, you know what he's saying, but it's another thing to understand what he's saying. You know what I'm saying? So I think from the many years of me being up under him, because he's coached, and you look at his resume, he's coached some of the greatest players to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I have so much of a great deal of respect for Dean, not just because of his experience, but also, too, how he coaches. You know, he's one of those coaches that, you know, he might be no-nonsense. He might be a guy that, you know, he doesn't like to play too much, but, you know, he's hands-on with everything that he does. But at the same time, you know, he brings another, you know, style and way he coaches, where he tries to understand you as well as a player. He knows what's good for you, what you do best, and, you know, the things that you do best, he wants to try to, you know, expose that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the greatest thing that I love about Dean, is that it's not just about coaching. You know, he really tries to learn about you and make you the best player that you possibly be.
We're big Dean Pease fans. Mad respect of Dean Pease. Particularly myself, I just, his mind is fascinating to me. I think it's so cool. For you know, having played with him and you spend a lot of time with him, what's your favorite Dean Pease story?
Oh, I would say this is by far the best one. And I think because, you know, and this was at Tennessee, and it was one time I think we were trying to figure out how we were going to break practice, and I think it was maybe either during camp or OTAs, one of the two. And you know, I think maybe the old lineman went up and they were catching punts, right? And I guess one of the old linemen went, then the second one went, and then they were kind of like, okay, for the defensive side, we're going to try to see, you know, who's going to be the last person to catch it.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
gosh.
Whoever catches it, we're going to break practice. But if they don't catch it, mm-hmm. then we're going to continue practice. And I remember Coach Vrays, he ended up picking Dean for it.
Oh, my gosh. And he's like late 60s at this point.
You know, Dean, cool, just sits back there. You know, he analyzes everything. He watches everything. And he called his name up, and Dean walked up there real confident, like,
oh, my God,
I'm going to catch it.
Wow.
In my head, you know, I had a feeling. I'm like, I think he's going to catch that.
Like, I believe
Dean couldn't. Me knowing Dean, he wouldn't allow us to see him not catch that.
Right.
So, you know, he gets out there in the middle of the field. It's split between the two. It's offense and then it's defense. Everybody looking at each other. They just hoping and praying. Like, if he catches this, we're going to be happy. We're going to go crazy. Mm-hmm. And then I remember, you know, Dean just sitting there. He just relaxed, you know, acting like he's done it before. The dude, he hits the jug. The ball is sailing in the air. And Dean just sitting there just chilling. We like, at some point, Dean, you're going to have to move.
Got
to cage the ball, Dean. And I remember he maybe took like two steps back and he caught it.
Oh, wow.
And
man.
We literally, everybody ran down to him and we called him. He was like, hey. And that was probably the best experience I saw, you know, with Dean. I saw like the young version of Dean come out. When he did that.
That's
sure.
I mean, to have the confidence to be like, yeah, I'll go
it
do,
like,
it.
No
do it.
No big deal. No big deal. And he caught it effortless.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have no bobble of the ball. He caught it.
He just made the catch.
Made
that
the catch.
Is a fantastic story.
Yeah.
One last question before we get to the rapid fire section. Mm-hmm. Get pumped for that.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to you a couple different times, even right after you signed your contract here. Mm-hmm. You said that it kind of felt like home, that mm-hmm. you were close to home.
Mm-hmm.
You seem like you're having a blast
this
season.
I am.
Is that right? What is it about, I don't know, the team maybe being close to home, the way mm-hmm. that you guys are playing?
Mm-hmm. Kind of just like
know.
The perfect storm.
Yeah.
What is it that you just seem happy playing football?
Well, I think it's kind of a combination of everything, man. And I think, too, the opportunity in itself is something that I'm humble to say and honored to say that, you know, anytime you get another chance to extend your career in the NFL, it's always a good thing. Anytime you get picked up by any team, whether what position it is or what role you play, it's a privilege. So I thought of it in that way, just automatically coming in. Mm-hmm. And then just to add on to it, you know, I have familiar faces. I knew Dean, I knew Art, mm-hmm. I knew some of my teammates that were here from Tennessee Titans that kind of went through some of the same things I went through as far as trying to, you know, find a way and, you know, establish themselves in the league. And then, you know, all of those things incorporated just made it what it is today. And then, too, also, you know, I'm closer to home. So it's just a lot of things that just clicked and it felt right. And, you know, I felt like think about this opportunity. I was like, look, I'm going to just take this opportunity and run with it. And, you know, I've been trying to do that ever since. And, I'm just happy the fact that I'm able to be around, you know, really positive, you know, environment as far as, you know, the Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, you see some of the success on the field of the things that we can do and the things that we're going to do. So I'm excited about that.
Man, a nice way to end before we get into the crazy of rapid fire, which is everyone's favorite podcast segment.
We think so.
People may.
It's our favorite.
People may hate it, but we're going to continue doing it. Now, it's five questions. Everybody gets similar questions, basically the same questions. So, number one, your favorite play of your career?
Oh, I would say when I picked up a fumble against Patrick Mahomes. I ran it. And it was so funny, people don't know, I was completely out of breath and also locked my back up.
So I was playing
with a bad back the whole time. And people and all the players, they was laughing at me because they were like, look, you run all the time. What you get your back locked up for? So I would say that play because I played the rest of the game messed up. My back was messed up because I was running so hard trying to score.
Running so hard, you can't breathe.
Yeah, I can't breathe. Like, I was so excited about that play. So, yeah, I say that.
Is there a TV show that you're binging right now or a favorite TV show?
What was I watching? I was watching Power at the time.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites. And then I also was watching, My pops, for some reason, he got me into watching, you know, war movies. Like, you know, we used to watch Troy, 300.
Oh, yeah.
Gladiator. Mm-hmm. So I watch movies like that because I feel like that when I'm out there playing football.
Yeah. Hey,
so
there you go.
I think at the time, what was that show called? I forgot the name of that show. It doesn't air as much anymore, but it was on Hulu.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot the name of it, but if I find it, if I figure it out, I'll tell you. I forgot the name of it. It was on Hulu.
Was it like a war? Like a war movie?
It was like medieval, you know, swords and yeah. What was the name of that show?
Like Vikings?
It was kind of like Vikings, but it was like, it could have been maybe, it wasn't Game of Thrones. It wasn't.
We're gonna have to look it up.
I'm gonna look it up. I'll figure it out.
When this runs,
when this runs.
But I used to watch movies like that, Arthur, King Arthur, stuff like that. I used to love movies like that.
That's awesome.
And it was. I forgot the name. It was on Hulu, and I would watch it all the time with my pop.
We will find it. Fear not.
We'll find it. We'll
out. Next question: favorite restaurant.
Ooh.
And it can be anywhere. It could be back home. It could be here. Be in Tennessee.
My favorite restaurant. Okay, so. You know, I would, most of the time, since I'm a country boy, I would say soul food.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been, for some reason, I've been teetering on eating sushi.
Really? Love sushi.
Yeah, that's, I don't know why I got an acquired taste for sushi. And I've been eating that lately. So any place with sushi at this point, I love it.
That is fantastic.
Wow. Yeah.
Country boy eating
country
sushi.
Country boy eating sushi. That's the title of the podcast.
Yeah.
Who is the Falcon that you hang out with the most?
Ooh. I would say it's a toss-up between Grady and TQ.
Grady and TQ.
They're usually together.
Yeah.
They're usually together. So if I'm hanging out with one, most of the time, I'm with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's totally like an older brother, little brother.
Yeah,
dynamic
yeah.
Dynamic
yeah.
between those guys, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Most definitely.
Yeah, it's fun.
Interesting. Yeah. Love. Well, as
a linebacker, you got to have a relationship with your D lineman.
Yeah, right.
It's like a quarterback in your O line. Uh-huh. You got to have a relationship with them because they keep O linemen off of me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so I got to make sure, you know, I'm talking with them. I might even pay for the dinner.
Right.
Yeah, I got to make sure I treat them good. So.
Especially Grady taking on those triple teams.
Most definitely. Most definitely. So he's definitely the one that I try to, you know, be on a good side with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Last one, your pet peeve. Biggest pet peeve.
My pet peeve.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something simple.
Oh,
I would say just if you tell me you're gonna be somewhere, be on time.
Oh,
that's it.
Scott, do you wanna tell the story?
Don't tell me you pulling up 15 minutes and it's 30 minutes. I hate that.
Scott, who's the most on time person you know?
Maybe Mr. Evans, but definitely Tori.
Yeah.
Because
we
often end up traveling together. And there was one time she was like 2 minutes late, and I'm like, the world's coming to an end. What is wrong with Tori?
Like,
she's died.
She's dead in her hotel room. Yeah. No, that is one of my biggest pet peeves. Like, if I say I'm going to be there at this time, I'm there at this time.
Exactly.
I have friends who I'll be like, hey, we're actually meeting at 5:30. We're not. Nah, we're meeting at 6 because I know that they're not going to show up on time.
Yeah. Okay. You do the same thing I do. I would literally say, like, maybe – sometimes in the people I deal with, I would probably say 2 hours.
That's excessive.
Yeah,
it's
bad. You know, when you really know your friends and know people that you hang around, you know, you got it. You love them. You love them to death. But you like, I know he's gonna be late. So,
Okay. Well, I'm not getting invited to sushi anytime soon.
No,
because I'm always 5 minutes late. But hopefully
we could go get sushi.
Yeah.
Sushi.
I think we should do it. A live podcast at a sushi restaurant.
At a sushi restaurant.
Amazing.
And they should just bring out just different ones, and we'll just try, man. We just talk, you know, it'll be something nice.
Say less. I'm there for it.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. And Rashawn, thank you so much for the time. Thanks everybody for downloading and listening and watching this on YouTube and wherever you can find it. Do what you do. Rate, review, subscribe to the Falcons Podcast Network. And we'll be coming to you next week with another awesome episode. See you.